Don't you need to be like really good at math to find the best stuff to invest in?
I pretty much sucked at math at school.
But wait, isn't investing like super risky?
Only if you're driven by testosterone and are looking for a quick win.
Take your wealth diva journey with me. We are the invest divas. We're the business divas, the wealth divas, the millionaire divas. We are the abundance divas. Each week when you join me, you're going to move the needle towards creating the love, the joy, the wealth, the freedom, and the abundance you truly desire.
How to start investing without taking too much risk, and even if you're super busy and not a math whiz. Wait, how's that even possible? Are you going to bargain shopping during discount holidays?
Yeah.
If you know how to snatch a good deal during bargain season for stuff you love, you're going to make a great investor. Long-term value investing and bargain shopping are basically the same thing. But I'm so busy, I don't have time to find deals. Well, I manage my over $7 million portfolio less than an hour per month. Don't you need to be like really good at math to find the best stuff to invest in?
I pretty much sucked at math at school.
But wait, isn't investing like super risky? Only if you're driven by testosterone and are looking for a quick win. Hey there, Invest Divas and Divos. My name is Kiana Danielle, CEO of InvestDiva.com, where I teach you how to take control of your financial future and make your money work for you. My goal with this channel is to help you learn the methods to go from wherever you are right now to a $1 million portfolio and more. My mission is to help 1 million moms become financially independent by the year 2025. So if you know a mom who could benefit from taking control of their financial future, don't be stingy, spread the word, and help us make a huge impact. Sharing is
caring.
Thank you. In this video, I'm going to share with you the 5-step process to start making your money have babies, also known as starting to invest your money so that it can compound on its own. Let's cue the intro and let's go. Here's a 5-step process to start investing, even if you've never invested before. Step number one, create an account with a broker. There are online brokers in almost all countries. So yes, regardless of where you are right now, you should be able to invest, but make sure that you're selecting a credible broker. As long as you only keep cash below their insured amount, which is around $250,000 for smaller brokers, you should be fine with any regulated broker in your country. Also remember that these are simply brokers. Once you buy a stock through them, you then become an owner of that stock. Even if the brokerage firm goes under, you still own that asset. Kind of like when you invest in real estate. You can use a broker to buy real estate, and once you buy it, the broker becomes somewhat irrelevant. You want a broker that is regulated, has great customer service, and has low fees. Some of the good ones in the US include TD Ameritrade, now owned by Schwab, Fidelity, Interactive Brokers, and Robinhood. Yes, I know Robinhood was in hot waters in the past years, but again, as long as you're not keeping millions of dollars with them in cash, you should be fine. And when it comes to Robinhood, I actually kind of like how beginner-friendly their app is. Interactive Brokers are more suitable for advanced investors. Personally, majority of my portfolio is in TD Ameritrade. Now, if you're watching from a different country, drop where you're watching from down below so I can guide you with the best brokers in your region. Step two in getting started with investing is identify your risk tolerance. Not taking this step is the exact reason why 96% of traders lose money in the markets, because they are blindly following the market noise without having a plan that is the exact fit for their ability and willingness to take a risk. You can grab my free risk management toolkit after attending my free masterclass at investdiva.com/masterclass. Once you get it in your email, you can then calculate this on your own without doing any math, but by picking up your smartphone and punching in some numbers. And here's how the ability and the willingness to take a risk are different. For example, when I was single and was just getting started with my career in New York City, my willingness to take a risk was higher, but my ability to take a risk was lower because I wasn't making enough money. So I was investing in assets with higher growth potential that required lower amounts to get in. Years later, after I gave birth, my brain was on snooze zone and my willingness to take a risk went down. But my husband got a bonus, so our ability to take a risk went higher. So then I adjusted my investments to longer term value stocks. Here, let's talk about your ability to take a risk. Your ability to take a risk depends on your financial situation. All you have to do is to answer a bunch of questions that include, number one, is your net worth positive or negative? Here's how you calculate your net worth. Your net worth is assets minus liabilities. If your net worth turns out to be positive by a lot, then your ability to take a risk is higher. If it's negative by a lot, then your risk tolerance is lower. If it's break even or somewhere in between, then your risk tolerance is somewhere in between. The second question to find the answer for is, are you cash flow positive or cash flow negative? What does that mean? Is that is what you're bringing in as active income to your bank account, to your life, bigger than what you're spending? If your income exceeds your expenses, then you are cash flow positive and therefore higher risk tolerance. If your expenses exceed your income, then you are cash flow negative and therefore your risk tolerance is lower. The third question to figure out your ability to take a risk is, do you have an emergency fund? I like to call it the safety cushion. Emergency fund is a bit negative. What is an emergency fund though? It is 3 to 12 months worth of your monthly essential expenses saved somewhere safe, preferably in a high yield savings account. This length depends on your age, your health, and your income producing skill. If you don't have an emergency fund, your risk tolerance is really low and you probably shouldn't start investing yet. Now, if you have a huge emergency fund and a bunch of money just sitting around in your savings account, then you must start investing as soon as possible so they can give your money some work to do and more flexibility with your risk tolerance. Don't leave your money in the bank. It's losing its value. Does this make sense? The second part of your risk tolerance is your willingness to take a risk. Your willingness to take a risk depends on personal things like your overall personality, the stage of your life, personal conditions. For example, between the ages 25 and 45, you're probably more growth oriented. You're willing to take more risks. But even then, big life events can change your risk tolerance. For example, my willingness to take a risk was way higher before my daughter was born. Between ages 45 and 60, you're probably conservation and protection oriented. Above 60 is probably going to be your retirement years, and you're concerned about generating income, protecting what you have, or maybe gifting to your grandchildren. Here, I need to mention that your risk tolerance also has a hidden third element, your confidence in the asset that you're investing in. And by confidence, I don't mean what's trending on Twitter or the latest and greatest hype. The best way to gain confidence is to actually become a consumer of the companies whose assets you want to invest in and ask yourself whether or not you'll be continuing to be their customers for the next 10, 20 years. And better yet, how likely are you to recommend them to your friends? More on this in just a little bit. But for now, let's get to step number 3 in how to start investing. And that is, define your financial goals. Napoleon Hill said, a goal is a dream with a deadline. Fiona Daniel wants to add to Napoleon Hill and say, a goal is a measurable dream that feels achievable to you with a deadline. You can't start investing by just saying, well, I just want to make a bunch of money, the more the better. You have to have a specific plan with a feasible deadline that feels achievable to you. Once you get to your first goal, then you can move on to the next level. Just like I did. I went from a $50,000 goal to a $100,000 goal to a $200,000 goal to a $1 million goal to a $7 million goal. And now that I have the IDDA system going for me, my next goal is $100 million by December 29th at 12 p.m. Oh, my IDDA system is the Invest Diva Diamond Analysis. I've made a video about this in the past explaining the 5 points of it. You can check it out in my previous videos. So with that, you need to write down exactly why you're investing. This will help you pick the right assets for your unique goals and financial situation. Here are the 4 most common types of investment goals that you can choose from. Number 1, accumulate retirement funds. This is the most common reason for investing. The best time to start investing was 20 years ago. The second best time is now. Number two, enhance your income. You can add to your revenue streams and enhance your investment income through dividends or interest. This is more suitable for those closer to retirement age or those with lower risk tolerance. Number three, saving for major expenses. It could be a home, college tuition, vacation travel, capital to start a business, or anything else you need to major capital for. And number four, sheltering your income from taxes. Federal income tax laws include provisions that allow you to either defer or avoid paying personal income taxes on certain types of investments. So for example, when I had just gotten fired from my job and I needed to pay rent, I was investing to make an income. My medium risk choices were either swing trading or investing in dividend stocks. But now I have so many other streams of income, namely my Invest Diva, Business Diva, and Wealth Diva businesses. So the majority of my investment is to build generational wealth for my daughter and her kids to come. Now, I'm curious, what is your long-term goal for investing? Let me know in the comments. To help you understand this, let's take a look at something that I call my Zen Wealth Generator. I dive deeper into this in my Wealth Diva Live events. The Zen Wealth Generator allows me to grow and compound my wealth year after year. Every time I set a new financial goal for myself, I start with investing in myself, which means I spend time and money to learn new skills and add value to my life and so that I can increase my income. For example, you guys are right now investing your time to learn this new skill, which is super awesome. I then invest in my business to increase my income. I have streams of income other than investing, which I continue to add to them. Some examples are the royalties of my books, creating financial content for my corporate clients like NASDAQ, and partnering with other financial institutions. I also invest in dividend stocks, which pay me on a monthly basis. I also have affiliate partnerships with my network that have been growing over the years. And these are all on top of my other Diva businesses. Having these businesses also allow me to reduce my taxes and shelter my wealth through my trust fund and foundation systems. I made a detailed video on the exact steps I used to go from $500 to $7 million that you can check it out later. The third point of my Zen Wealth Generator is contributing a portion of my cash flow to my investment portfolio and investing in financial assets to make my money work for me. So I keep compounding my investments in myself, number one, which helps me compound my income, number two, which helps me compound my investment. So I make more money and my money makes more money and the money that my money makes makes more money without much more additional effort on my end. Does this make sense? Would you like to have a Zen Wealth Generator just like mine? Cool, you're in the right place. So hit that subscribe button so you never miss out on my next videos. Let's get to step number four and starting your investing journey. And that is picking assets that match your risk tolerance and goals. This is where the fun begins. Most people, though, think this is step number one. But as you saw right now, this is closer to the final step. The most popular assets to invest in include stocks, cryptocurrencies, NFTs, real estate, index funds, your business, and yourself. Today, I'm focusing on stocks, which can further be categorized into segments like common stocks, dividend stocks, AI and tech stocks, blue chip stocks, value stocks, defense, retail, health, growth, and cyclic stocks, to name a few. There are literally thousands and thousands of stocks out there. So how can you find the exact right stock that is uniquely suitable to you without spending hours on research and without getting a mess of a headache and anxiety attacks? In just a few minutes, I'm going to reveal the exact criteria I use to pick my assets in less than an hour per month that has helped me build an over $7 million portfolio. But first, Warren Buffett said, when picking an asset, look at it as if you're going to buy the whole company. That's all good and well, but Kiana Danielle says value investing is kind of like choosing a life partner. Think about it as getting married to someone. You get into marriage because you're confident you're going to be able to stick through it in sickness and in health, right? That's the way you want your relationship to be with the asset that you choose. You want to choose an asset so that you can be patient with it and have confidence in it even if it hits a hurdle along the way. You trust in its future value so much, you're not gonna pay attention to its daily ups and downs. 50% of marriages end in divorce. Why do you think that is? It's probably because they didn't do their homework. They only followed their emotions, and the emotions blurred their vision, so they weren't able to actually follow logic. That's exactly like buying a hot asset, a hot stock, a meme stock that everybody's talking about just because you're catching FOMO, fear of missing out. Now, if the hype is valid, if you have thought this through and think this asset is going to be the one long term, no matter what the market conditions will throw at you, there is absolutely no problem with falling in love with it. Does this make sense to you? This is what we mean by being a value investor. Poor people know the cost of everything and the value of nothing. Wealthy people don't care about the cost and only focus on the value. If you are committed to becoming a value investor so that you can eliminate your risk and the time that you spend in investing, type "I'm a value investor" in the comments. Now let's get to the value asset picking criteria. When it comes to asset picking, I do things differently. Instead of looking in the company's short-term financials, going through thousands of their previous quarters' financial reports when it comes to stock picking, I look for category king, companies that improve life, companies that solve problems, allow us to do things better, faster, and cheaper. And most important of all, we at Invest Diva invest in companies that do something good for the humankind. Published growth trends, profit margins, price earning ratios are not as important as understanding how a company could create value in the years ahead. So we don't blindly buy a stock that we heard from our brother-in-law and hold on to it. As investivas and investivos, we buy the right ones and hold on to as a method of value investing to counter unproductive activity and being stuck to our screen all day. You guys with me? One more thing to ask yourself before saying I do to your asset is this. What could go wrong with this company? This is instead of finding reasons to prove yourself right. Now that you've found the one for your investment portfolio and you're ready to buy your very first stock, you're probably wondering if it's a good time to buy. What if it's overpriced? After all, we prefer to buy stuff when they're cheaper, right? I love sales, don't you? And this brings us to step number 5, creating your unique investment strategy. As any value investor would tell you, time in the market is more important than timing the market. That means even if you bought Apple stock at its peak price 20 years ago, today you would still have been better off having it in your portfolio than if you had waited for it to drop a little bit before buying. That being said, at Investiva, we're all about emotional management and optimization. So without going into the nitty-gritty of the stuff today, I'm going to show you a shortcut. Are you cool with shortcut? Cool. Don't worry, you can get into the nitty-gritty by watching my free masterclass and learning all about my IDDA system, link in the description. So this shortcut is my best kept secret when it comes to hitting the buy button. That helps me increase my confidence, allows me to stick to my strategy long-term, and reveals how much I really know about the future of this company. You ready for it? This shortcut involves 2 questions you want to ask yourself right before buying your very first stock today market's price. I call them the confidence compass questions. Question 1, if I invest today and the price drops by 50% tomorrow, will I freak out and panic sell, or will I buy more? Question 2, if I don't invest today and hear that my favorite stock is skyrocketing tomorrow, will I kick myself, catch FOMO, and buy immediately at a higher price, or will I wait for a pullback? I get it, both would suck, but which one would suck more for you? Digging deep into this will give you an idea of whether you're confident to buy right now, or perhaps buy some right now and then set buy limit orders at key psychological levels to buy more if it drops. This is exactly how I mitigate risk while saving time and keeping my emotions in check. Pardon me, buy and sell limit orders are basically my secret weapons when it comes to investing on a busy schedule. They're kind of like using a crock pot. You just set them, forget them, and then come back later to eat the profits. And then let it compound over and over and over again. All of the brokers I mentioned at the beginning of this episode will allow you to use buy and sell limit orders to save time. There you have it, the 5 steps to start investing on a busy schedule without taking more risk than you can actually afford, and even if you're not a math whiz. Step one was create an account with the broker. Step two, identify your risk tolerance by downloading my free risk management toolkit once you attend my free masterclass. Link in the description. Step three, break down your financial goals. Step four, pick assets that match your risk tolerance and goals that you identified in the previous steps. And step five, ask yourself the confidence compass questions and create your strategy based on my IDDA system. So do you think if you follow these steps, you can successfully and confidently purchase your very first asset for your portfolio? What would be the first company you're looking to after this video? Let me know in the comments. Thank you so much for watching. Don't forget to subscribe, give this video a thumbs up if you enjoyed it, and share it with somebody you love. Keep making your money have babies, my fellow Invest Divas and Divos. I'll see you in the next video.